Matter of People versus Orenthal, James Simpson. How do you plead to counts 1 and 2?
Absolutely 100% not guilty.
Initiate explosion in 3, 2, 1.
All right, welcome everybody. It is the JLSBX, the Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion. Thanks for joining us here on April 15th, 2024. Make sure to get your taxes done or don't. I'm not here to tell you one way or the other. What I am here to tell you is a lot about the world of sports. We answer this question.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
We got a fun one today as we've got Frank Rapier and Dennis Brown joining us here in just a minute. Hey, if you're already listening to us, thank you. But go ahead and leave a review. 5 stars is better than 1 star. Do what you got to do. Be honest. Give us some feedback. Send some questions. Take part in the polls. Do whatever you need to do. The last poll there, the Bruce Willis poll that we have put up on the Facebook page. What is your favorite role of Bruce Willis, as he may not have another role again? The overwhelming response went to Butch from Pulp Fiction, followed by, of course, John McClane. Few others scattered in and about. We're going to get to something here in just a second. My shout out today is to number 16, retired today from my beloved New York Metropolitans, a Mr. Dwight Doc Gooden, finally getting his number retired in the rain as the Mets got a win over the Royals today. Mets starting to pick it up. I figured he'd have that number retired long before then, but better than later. You know what I mean. The Doc, and that's what actually, when people ask me living in the Midwest, what gets me into the New York Mets, it was actually Dwight Gooden and Daryl Strawberry. When I was watching them, they no one pitched like Dwight Gooden. The guy was amazing. If he could have just kept it together, he'd be an easy first ballot Hall of Famer, probably one of the best of all time, a 300-win pitcher for sure. And Daryl Strawberry, same thing, could have been a contender for a home run champion, or at least a 500 home run guy. But either way, that's what got me into the New York Metropolitan baseball team, and it's all been downhill from there. Thanks, guys, for a lifetime of misery with that bullshit. Before we bring on our guest, this clip here has been sent to us from contributor of the show, Ice Mamba. This is a clip of Gary Payton talking about the exploits of Larry Bird and his fine trash talking. Roll that clip.
Well, yeah, I interviewed Gary Payton, a venomous trash talker. And I asked him who the most vicious trash talker he's ever encountered. He said Larry Bird.
Oh, no question.
Bird talk shit? Like we talk?
Let me tell y'all something. Bird used to tell me, look here, man, I'm gonna go shoot this motherfucker jumper in your face right there in that corner. And it's gonna be your Christmas present. I'm gonna wrap it up and bust your head open. All that shit.
He told me, young fella, let me tell you something. I can shoot a jumper anywhere I want to. You're supposed to be a great defender, right? I'm going to make sure I tell you where I'm going to shoot the ball at. And I was like, man, come on now. You're not going to shoot the ball. And so he said, I'm going to take you over in that corner right there. You see it over there by my bench, right? And I'm going to give you something, and it's going to be this jumper. So he went right to that corner, and I'm up on him. I'm under him. And he said, young fella, what did I tell you I was going to do? And he turned around, raised up, and it was all drawn. And I said, shit, I ain't going to mess with you no more.
All right, so coming out of that clip, bringing on to the show, I've got both Dennis Brown and Frank Rapier. What's up, guys?
Good morning.
Now, Dennis, are you there as well?
Good to see you, gentlemen.
All right. Well, that brings us to the question that Mr. Ice Mamba wanted me to ask you guys. Other than Larry Bird, who are the best trash talkers in NBA history? My first, other than Larry, of course, I'm going to go MJ. MJ with the eyes shut free throw. I mean, that right there just talks so much shit without even having to talk shit. Although, if you watch the clip, there's a lot of jarring going back and forth. So on and so forth. What other names come to mind when you think of trash talkers? Legendary.
I definitely think about Reggie Miller, Kevin Garnett, Charles Barkley, Draymond Green, of course. I think kind of like Kobe Bryant too, but I think Kobe and Michael Jordan were more like reactionary shit talkers. Like they didn't usually initiate it. Usually somebody would say something to them to get them going. Where Larry Bird was more, he would more take the initiative. So would Reggie Miller. Definitely Kevin Garnett. You would always hear the stories from Kevin Garnett talking about shit talking Tim Duncan and how you just can't get in his head. And Tim would never respond to it. It's just comedy.
Frank, yeah, what about you?
I too am going to say, I'm gonna agree with Charles Barkley. I agree with that list. I'm also going to throw Shaq in there. But Shaq was more, like, he talked a lot of shit, but it was like, it was more like comedic shit that he would talk. I remember hearing the story about how he always tried to talk shit to Yao Ming, and Yao Ming would never respond to him. And then all of a sudden, he responded back. And Shaq goes, "You speak English?" And he goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "Why didn't you never tell me you spoke English?" And he goes, "Because you never asked me." Modern day players, Draymond, definitely. You know, Joel Embiid talks a lot of shit too. You know, when he's healthy. But Jimmy Butler talks a little shit. But other than Larry, like Larry is the king, but I think
Kobe's stuff was like really subtle. You know, like you remember the one with him and Amon Shumpert that kind of made its rounds on social media, where Amon's telling the story how Kobe came up to him and said, you had a good game at the start of the fourth quarter. It was more shit like that with Kobe. Because even when they talk about the 81-point game, they say, you know, when they ask, you know, what did he say? Did he talk a lot of trash? And it's like, he didn't say a word.
I do like the point that you made, Dennis, though, with Larry being a more of an initiator as opposed to reactionary. The famous, of course, the three-point shootout. And this is back when that thing first started, and it was so novelty. They were like, and the other players that showed up to do that, they were like, okay, here's this dumb novelty thing they're going to have us do. And Larry shows up and takes it seriously. And because he's a competitor through and through and tells everybody, you're all playing for second. And delivers. That's what the beauty of trash talking is when the guy can deliver on it, you know?
Oh, and in the last shot, he walks away before it even went through.
And if, correct me if I'm wrong, did the whole thing in his damn warm-up jacket or some shit?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
The thing is
absurd.
The thing is about MJ, and I just wonder if how many times. I mean, now that we know a little bit more about MJ than we did back then, because there's even more stories to be told and more cameras now than were back then. How many times do you think he dropped a 40 on somebody when he was fucking golfing that same day? And
he did it lots of times.
Yeah. And how many times do you think he probably dropped that on somebody when he was having their way with them? It's like, yeah, I don't know what you did today, but I did 18 and drank a fucking few cognacs. You know, I don't know what, you know, it's, you know, I could just imagine him telling somebody that, which is beautiful.
Some guy he was gambling with, I can't remember the story totally, who the guy was, but he played 18 with Jordan, took him for a couple grand, and Jordan had a game that night. And then the guy's like, well, you got a game, we should probably get going. No, let's play another 18. And he said Jordan drank easily 8, 10 Coors Lights or whatever, and he took him for another couple thousand. And then the guy was like, oh, man, you're going to be hurting tonight. And he goes, no, I'll drop 50. And went to the game and dropped a double nickel.
Of course he did. Of course he did. That's what he, you know, that's MJ for you. From other sports, who can you think of? So that was specifically NBA, but it had to be Dion for sure out there.
Oh yeah, he was one of the worst.
There, I mean, you always heard the stories about Warren Sapp. You know, third and long all day long. We're going to do this, you know, all day, you know, Brett Favre, so on and so forth. Anybody else come to mind that I'm not thinking of from other sports other than the NBA?
Ray Michael Lewis. Strahan. Yeah, Ray Lewis, Michael Strahan. Yeah. Bryant Young back in the day.
So I,
I'm trying to think.
Bill Romanowski was a huge.
Oh, yeah. Bill Royd Manowski.
Yeah.
I remember
him and everybody else.
Yeah. Him probably more than everybody else, but yes, him and everybody else.
No, he's just where they got it.
I remember.
Well, I'm, you know, that porch light has not been working for a lot of years on Bill Romanowski. That guy, there's something wrong up there. Like, yeah,
he did cash in 4 rings though with 2 different teams. That's pretty good. Charles Haley was pretty intimidating shit talker on the line too.
I don't have a high school athletic history to speak of, but I do remember I was pretty good at baseball. I wasn't good at football at all, and I do remember playing a team that was so fucking. I mean, remember for us Council Bluffs guys back in the day, we had TJ, which was our only possible win, and then a bunch of teams from Omaha, and there was no fucking some of these guys went on to play for Nebraska. And I do recall somebody from the offensive line on this opposing team, he kept saying this. He didn't say it once. He said it like 25, 35 times this game. He kept telling us, because I was on defense, he kept telling us where they were going the whole game. He's like, this one's like a 45 trap ball, but we're going to go right there. And we couldn't do a fucking thing about it. And I'm like, you know, and I kind of like, in a weird way, kind of respected it. But I was like, and we were working our asses off trying. I mean, but we were outsized, we were outmatched, outcoached. We couldn't do anything. But it wasn't like after the 10th one, it was like, hey, dude, could you just shut your fucking mouth? Because what's that going to do? He's just going to keep doing it. And you're not stopping, sounds like, you know.
Sounds like Larry Bird. That's exactly what Larry Bird did. He was, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to shoot this. And I'm going to make it, or I'm going to shoot every ball tonight left-handed and score 25 and win the game.
Yeah.
I talked a lot of shit when I played high school baseball, and I got hit with a lot of pitches. Like, I would stand in the dugout and just be yelling shit at, like, the other pitcher, and my coach would have to tell me to calm down, or, like, a ground ball to go to third, and I'd be like, touch third, touch third, touch third. And one time this kid did, and there was nobody running the third. So the runner was safe. And then their coach started complaining to the umpire. So, but no, I was pretty good at talking a little bit of shit when I played baseball.
It can be such a fun element of the game, the whole shit talking, the game within the game and the going back and forth down there. Now, with microphones being everywhere and the technology with recording all the stuff, these guys, they have to be careful with some of the stuff they say, although some of them don't. But
I'm sure it's fun as hell when you're on the right side of it.
Oh, yeah. To tell somebody, I'm going to do this, and then you execute. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And before we'll be done with this topic here, Dennis, I'm trying to think what year it was, because you and I are both Laker fans. Remember, it was either 84 or 85. One of those years, the Celtics needed a bucket at the end of one of the finals games against the Lakers, and Larry told the Lakers in the timeout, you know, coming out the timeout, ball's going to me.
Yeah.
And he missed. And it was like, and even the Laker players, whatever that, you know, because the Lakers won that finals, but they were like, when it left his hands, we were like, fuck. You know, it's going, we're sure it's going in.
It's going in. And it almost did.
It almost did. It like rattled in and out or something like that.
Yeah, it did. It did. And he shot it. It was behind 3-point line, kind of moving to his left.
Yeah.
Yeah, and shot it. And it looked like it was good. That was probably 85 or 80, whatever, 86. Because 84, the Celtics won that year.
Then it had to be 85 or 87 when the Lakers won it. Because I remember they talked about it as we won that series, but that was a swing game right there.
I mean, he hits that shot. The whole Larry Magic dynamic, the way we talk about him, could be different. Magic's got those 2 extra rings, and that's why he always gets a little clout over Larry. But don't forget, Larry won. You know, Larry won the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Larry won 3 championships, and he won 3 league MVPs in a row. Yeah. And he didn't only win Rookie of the Year; he murdered him. It was like Magic got like 3 votes. Larry got like 70. It was something stupid like that.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
He was amazing. He's one of the greats for sure.
This week on the JLSBX, in the midweek, we're going to talk a little bit about the NBA playoffs. Not here today as the NBA season comes to an end. The all 20 teams, that's right, 20 teams entering the playoffs are set now. The one question I was going to ask you guys, we're just real quick, I know we didn't prep for this, but the NBA with the expansion of 8 playoff teams to 10, although some could say, well, it's really not 10 because it's just quick little playoff. It's 10. If you're in, you're in. You have a chance. But one thing I did notice, as I haven't been following that closely with the NBA, one thing that's interesting is the West teams 1 through 10 are separated by only 11 games. Oklahoma City is number 1 with 57 wins, and at number 10, back there, you have Sacramento at 46. Is that type of parity good? Is that something the league needs, or do they need more dominant teams?
Well, I think anytime you have parity, it's better. I truthfully do, because, I mean, if you look back before, like in the NFL, at a point in the 90s, you knew either Dallas or San Francisco was going to win the Super Bowl. I mean, once in a great while, you'd have a team sneak in there, but when there's more parity in any sport, it's definitely better.
Yeah, I agree.
I actually don't necessarily agree with that. I think it actually comes down to the sport. I think with the NFL, that works, because in the NFL, we're all about teams. I mean, don't get me wrong, we're about players too. But I mean, even if Patrick Mahomes left the Chiefs tomorrow and completely shit on him and left and went to the Raiders, none of the fucking Chief fans are going with him. The NBA is a little bit different. That whole league is player driven. Daniel Stern made it that way, that it was more player driven. There are people that will jump ship in the NBA today if their player moves somewhere else. To me, it's all about players, and I don't think that matters as much in the NBA.
Do you think a 10 seed could get to a conference final?
No. I don't. I think what the NBA is just doing is trying to generate more ratings, because it's a dying fucking league, because LeBron James has fucking ruined the league. Literally, he ruined it. So they're trying to do every fucking circus act that they can, every carnival act that they can bring in to try to get people to watch it, because nobody's watching it. When Michael Jordan, when Magic and Larry were running the league, the everybody was watching, the ratings were great. When Michael Jordan took the baton and took the league over, the ratings were better than ever. And then Shaq and Kobe, they took that from Jordan, they nurtured it and kept it going good. And then the Kobe era, from when Shaq left and when the Lakers, you know, that 08 to 2010, Kobe carried that. And then when he's like, all right, LeBron, it's all on you, he fucking pissed it down his leg. He ruined the league.
Do you think
so? But as far as like, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but as far as like not as much, you don't agree about having as much parity in the NBA. So in that case,
you don't
case,
need it.
If you're going to have 31 teams, if you're going to have 31 teams making the playoffs, why have 10 teams?
Look back when Michael Jordan was making the playoffs when he was like a rookie, they were under 500. And people still wanted to see Michael Jordan in the fucking playoffs. They didn't care that the Bulls sucked. Do you think they would have wanted to see the Bulls in the playoffs if Michael Jordan wasn't on that team and they were under 500? No, people would have been up in fucking arms. But they didn't give a shit because it was Michael Jordan. And that's when he was a rookie. And in his second year and third year, they were not very good. You don't need fucking parity in the NBA. You need the Lakers and the Celtics to be really good, and then you need a few other teams with some massive fucking superstars to be really good, and that's all you need. The rest of the league can fuck off and die. Nobody cares. Nobody gives a shit if the fucking Washington Wizards or Charlotte or any of them teams ever win. They don't care. That's not what drives that league. It's not the NFL. The Cincinnati Bengals win the Super Bowl next year, the NFL is still just as big as it ever was. If the Wizards win the NBA championship next year, nobody will watch.
But let me ask this.
So you don't think when Milwaukee and Denver won it, it mattered?
Yeah, nobody gives a fuck.
Well, let me ask this then. If the NBA or any type of company like this understands their people that just don't give a shit and I can't get them to watch my product, there's people that are going to watch no matter what, but it's the people on the fence in the middle, though, I want to get them to watch, and I'd like to hope that I get them to watch. Do you think that right now, though, do you think this is better having all this parity now as opposed to when it was a foregone conclusion that Golden State was just going to win from 15 to 18? Like, who, what, can you get better viewers in this type of climate as opposed to, well, it's Golden State and nobody else?
The problem with the NBA, too, is the playoffs get bigger ratings than the finals. To where in the NFL, it's just massive ratings throughout the playoffs, and then the Super Bowl's the most watched thing on the fucking planet.
Right.
The NBA, the ratings actually go down once the finals hit. People are more interested in the run to the finals. So,
well, it's also the fact that the finals, they play from October to June. And by the time June rolls around, baseball's in full swing. So, I mean, that, and not that baseball matters, but that has a lot to do with it too. So, I mean, honestly, that what with this parity, I think parity's better. But if it's going to be just, you know, you're going to have two or three teams that are worth a fuck, then why have 10 teams go? Now, I know what Josh said. It's like to try and get more people to watch. But, I mean, if you're watching a one seed Oklahoma City play a 8 seed, you know, Sacramento, who gives a shit? Like, or you're watching a number one seed Boston play an 8 seed Washington. Like, nobody – or a 10 – like, the 7 through 10, who gives a fuck about those games, truthfully?
Nobody.
Like, I mean, you could probably do it like the NFL. Like, honestly, you could, and just do 6 teams, both East and West.
The NBA could probably, and they won't do this because they want more games and more games and more games and more games. But that first round was perfect when it was a 5-game series, you know, because. You know, the one can dispatch of the 8 in 3 games, and we don't have to suffer a fourth. Or if a 8 puts a 1 in danger 2-0, like Denver did to Seattle in like 95, then now you got something. You have an upset. So maybe they could go back to that. They'll never do it, but that shorter first round was nice, you know? Okay,
great. Like, to me, the last really good finals that got a lot of good ratings was like 2010 when the Lakers and Celtics played each other. They got massive ratings. You had Kobe, you had the big three on the Celtics. That was great.
And it was a revenge final.
Everybody's like, it was.
Yeah. Cause the Celtics winning in 08. Yeah.
I just fucking hate LeBron James. Did I say that?
I'll check the tape to see, but you may have. So, moving forward. So yeah, parity. Take it. It just depends. Situational.
In the NFL, it is amazing. It makes the NFL. It's what separates everything. The NFL from everything is the parity in the NFL.
Truthfully, though, I think the parity in the NFL since the mid '90s to now is what has made the NFL as big as it is now. Because now people can actually look and say, you know, it isn't a 3 or 4 team race anymore. Like, well, you're still going to have teams that are going to go 1 and 15.
But every league can do it. What they're doing is not a fucking secret. Every league could do it. You have a hard salary cap. Done.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying is that since they've done that and they've added parity in the NFL, I think it's gotten like way bigger.
Like baseball's a fucking joke. You got a team that's 100%. Got a $50 million payroll and a team that's got a $200 million payroll. That's retarded.
Yeah, no, I'm a Cincinnati Reds fan. You know, quite honestly,
and
they have a pretty talented roster. In 3 years, all of those fuckers are either going to be playing for the Mets, the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Cubs, somebody in a big fucking market, okay? So ask me how many baseball games a year I watch.
Problem is the unions have been running them fucking leagues forever, especially baseball. Yeah. So
yep.
they'll never have it because it'll never be allowed.
Yeah, no, and that's and see, that's why baseball is like slowly becoming the way of the dinosaur. It is the least popular sport of all of them, and it's because there's, you know, what teams are going to be at the top. It's because, you know, the Dodgers spent $1.8 billion in free agency. They're a pretty good chance they're going to make the playoffs.
They're in first place right now, so yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, not a good chance that the fucking Pirates are going to make the playoffs with their, you know, $89 salary cap.
All yeah, right, so to put a bow on it, to put on a bow, NBA parity definitively is either a
yes
or
oh hell no.
So yeah, well we certainly solved that one. Hopefully we get some fun games out of it. It's it can be good TV. Could, you know, you don't know. Moving on to this last one here before we go to break. So I had mentioned at the top of the show, big Mets fan. Yeah, I'm not bragging about it. It's been mostly misery since the 86 season, although there's been some bright spots. And today, Dwight Gooden got his number put into the Ring of Honor there at Citi Field. That's really cool. And I had it's always weird how I became a Mets fan, but I just did. You guys, as it turns out, your college teams that you're fans of are one of the biggest rivals in college sports. Frank with Texas and Dennis with Oklahoma. I'm going to start with Frank. Frank, what got you into Texas?
So my dad and my brother were actually Alabama fans. Okay, both of them were Alabama fans. And me, being a smartass and a contrarian, as you know I am, they were playing in, I think it was a Sugar Bowl game or possibly an Orange Bowl game. So I chose to root for Texas over Alabama. And Texas actually won the game 16-13. So it was at that point in time that I became a Texas Longhorn fan. Through all the shitty years and all the good years, I stuck with them. So that in and of itself was just me wanting to be a contrarian and be obnoxious is how I became a Texas fan.
You, Dennis, Oklahoma?
For me, I just became a big 49er fan when I was 8 years old. I didn't really care about any other sports other than the NBA when I saw Magic Johnson. I didn't really care about college football at all. But then in 1997, I moved to Norman, Oklahoma, where my mom was living. And the guy she was married to had season tickets to the Sooners, front row, 30-yard line, right behind the defense. He had him since 1985, like the last time they won the national championship, you know, prior to 2000. And he never went anymore. So me and my little brother went to every single game. And it didn't take long. I met a lot of people. Steve Owens, Billy Sims, just to name a couple.
Did you ever meet the Boz?
That's actually really cool.
Yeah, and I mean, I went for years. I went after that. Once I moved back here, I would drive down. He'd give me tickets all the time, whatever ones I wanted, and I would go to all the games. So I became a huge Sooner fan.
That's pretty cool.
Have you ever been to a Red River game?
Yeah, I went to the one that Ricky Williams and DeMond Parker was in. You guys beat us 24-20. Ricky Williams went for 210 yards. It was amazing. He had a couple touchdowns. And DeMond Parker went for 294 yards, and he had a couple touchdowns. It was an amazing game to be at. The cool thing was how at the 50-yard line, going one way, it's all crimson and cream, and then going the other way, it's all orange and white, and then you have all this security up and down the aisles. It's pretty – it's a – amazing game to be at the Cotton Bowl.
It's like a soccer game in Ireland.
I've been to a few of them.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I've been to a few of them too, and it's an experience.
Oh, they're ready for it though. They're ready for it though. They prepare for it.
And Frank, to piggyback on something you had said, being the contrarian, that is another little element of what made me become a Mets fan, was the fact that I only knew Cubs and Cardinals fans around here, and they all fucking hate the Mets. So it was a combination of many things. It was Dwight, Doc, and then also it was kind of like, everybody seems to hate these guys, and I like them. I kind of went the same route when I became a Lakers fan because my entire family was Celtics fans. So I'm with you on the kind of the contrarian thing there. Red River Shootout is something I definitely would like to go to before I'm done. What were you gonna say, Dennis?
It didn't take long for my stepdad to let me know that we hate Oklahoma State and we fucking hate Nebraska and we hate Texas and we hate Texas most of all. And you'll figure that out real quick. And I did real quick. And I kind of already knew the Oklahoma-Nebraska thing growing up in Council Bluffs, you know, across the river from Omaha.
That was a big thing.
All my friends in 94, 95, 93, the 80s, I lived through fucking all that. Everybody I knew was watching them games. I just never cared about college.
Yeah.
And
everybody hates Texas, by the way.
Gotcha.
As they should.
All right, which brings us to this little trivia that was put together by my son, Caius. I appreciate him putting forth the effort on this one. And this is our own little Red River Shootout, if you will, here, of Texas and Oklahoma trivia. You can play at home, and if you don't know the answers, you'll most certainly learn. And we'll learn about our guest here is how much they know about the respective teams. You guys ready?
Ready.
Yes.
Okay, so there's two drops for this. The correct answer for a Texas question will go to its most famous alum.
All right.
As where an Oklahoma answer will get a
son of a bitch.
That'd be JR of WWE fame. So we got McConaughey and JR as our respective drops. Question one, and you may choose to do whatever you want to do. You can, since I don't have buzzers for you, you could either answer with you can ring in with a hook 'em horn, Frank, or Dennis, you could do a boomer sooner or whatever you want and give us the answer. Question one, which team between the two has won the most Heisman trophies?
Boomer.
What you got?
Yeah, it's the Sooners.
Yeah, I know the answer. It is.
It's Oklahoma.
That's seven.
Yep.
Okay, here's your bonus, Dennis. Name at least five of them.
Okay, Billy Vessels, Billy Sims, Jason White, Sam Bradford.
Three.
God damn it. Two, I said his name one. Earlier. Okay, Baker Mayfield.
Can I?
For the steal, Frank.
Say, can I steal?
Yeah.
Hey, I got Baker Mayfield. I already said
Baker Mayfield.
Okay, but there's two you're missing. And
that Steve Owens.
There you
go.
And Kyler Murray. That is. Frank, who are the two for Texas?
That would be Mr. Ricky Williams.
Correct.
And Mr. Earl Campbell.
Correct.
All right.
Two amazing running backs.
Question number two. Which college has most representatives in the NFL Hall of Fame?
Hook 'em.
What you got, Frank?
I think it's Oklahoma.
You are incorrect.
It is
Texas. I'll let you redeem yourself. Can you name the five from Texas?
Well, I know Earl Campbell.
Okay.
Tommy Novus.
Nope. We've got Earl Campbell, Bobby Dillon, Tom Landry, Bobby Lane, and Tex Schramm.
I never got that.
That's five over.
I wouldn't have either, obviously.
That's five over the four that Oklahoma has representing. And I do want to say this, then the four that Oklahoma is representing, Pat Bowlen, Tommy McDonald, Leroy Selman, and Ron Wolf. Now,
Leroy Selman.
Yeah, Mr. the first pick in the 76 draft, Mr. Leroy Selman. And a quick little note, depending on what site you look at, and I'm calling this bullshit, some sites will say Oklahoma has a fifth member of the NFL Hall of Fame, as some list Troy Aikman. I will not accept Troy Aikman as a Sooner, okay? He had a success at UCLA and was drafted at UCLA. And then once he left,
we won the national championship in 85 with Jamel Holloway.
There you go. Moving on.
And Barry helped him with that, by the way, so Troy can't be pissed.
No, he cannot. Moving on. This is going to be an individual question to each one of you and to see who can get the best Basically, I'm giving you three free throws. Who can make all three of their free throws? I'm going to start with you, Dennis. No, I'm gonna, you know what? I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to start with Frank here on this one. Name Texas's top three rushing leaders all time. Don't have to be in order.
Earl Campbell, Ricky Williams, and Jamal Charles.
You got two of three. Cedric Benson is in there. Same question.
Oh, shit. How did I forget Cedric Benson?
Same question to you, Dennis.
Oh, hell no.
Name Oklahoma's top three running backs in their school's history.
I'm going to say Adrian Peterson, Billy Sims, and I can't think of his name. He's that tiny little running back we had in the mid-2000s that went and played for Denver for a while. I was thinking him, maybe. Griffin.
And so I'm going to give you one out of three. You got Billy Sims correct. You're going to be surprised by the other two. Joe Washington. Cool. And the number one in school history, Samaje Perine.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah. So just
Adrian probably wasn't there very long.
He was injured a lot in college, if I remember right.
He was hurt for a whole year once, too, I guess.
Shit, that son of a bitch, he like blew out his ACL in the NFL and came back and rushed for about $2,000. So, I mean, guy was a beast.
Yeah,
he had like 1,850 yards his freshman year, and then I think he blew his knee out in the Iowa State game in his sophomore year.
Moving on, next question. Around the same time, you guys both had a player named Roy Williams. One played receiver for the Horns. One played defensive back for the Sooners. Here's the question. Which is the greater number in the NFL? Roy Williams' receivers' touchdown count or Roy Williams' defensive back's forced fumble and interception count?
I'll go with the
Roy
DB.
Williams receiver.
Oh, neither one of them buzzed in, but that's okay. What are you both saying? Receiver?
No, he said defensive back.
The answer is receiver.
All right.
He had 44 career touchdowns, as were the defensive back. And these are not bad stats. He had 9 forced fumbles and 20 interceptions in his career. So 29 takeaways there.
Yeah, wow, fuck that guy. Nice. He played for Dallas.
Yeah, fuck that guy. No, I get it. We're about ready to wrap this up here.
The receiver, he also played for the Lions.
Wasn't he drafted for the Lions?
He was drafted by the Lions when they were drafting receivers
every
fucking year.
Single year. It's like, let's get that dude from Michigan
Williams.
State. Yeah. Who's the dude from Michigan State? You know what I'm talking about, though.
I can't remember. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And then Mike Williams, and then they took Roy Williams.
And then Megatron was in that mix. And then who was the kid from USC that got so fat they made him a tight end?
I don't remember. Didn't they draft Plexico? Were they?
No, I think he was drafted by the Steelers.
He was actually drafted by this. Okay, I think you're right.
Plexiglass? Yeah, I think.
Yeah, Plexiglass. Hero of the Super Bowl for sure. And winding down, this is our final question. Which is the bigger number, Texas College World Series titles or Oklahoma softball titles?
It's probably Texas.
College World Series. College World Series. I know they have 6.
You are right. They do have 6.
I'll go with that.
They do have 6. But the answer, Oklahoma with 7 softball titles compared to Texas.
Yeah.
6.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And there's one more bonus. There's one more bonus here.
Frank.
Yes. And there's one.
Dennis?
There's one more.
Taste, Frank.
There's one more bonus here, fellas.
Nobody watches women's sports, Dennis. So.
Yeah, that was proven last week, Frank. Last question here.
No, I'm being sarcastic.
Who leads the all-time record head-to-head in men's basketball?
Between Oklahoma and Texas?
Correct. The two teams we're talking about.
I probably go with Oklahoma.
I think I would go with Oklahoma too.
I'm glad you guys agree, and you're both wrong.
All right.
All time, Texas has won 32 to Oklahoma's 23, including a current 7-game winning streak. that is going to wrap up our Red River Shootout trivia here real quick. I hope you learned. I'm going to have you guys cool down here real quick. We're going to come back, do a real quick Marv and Steve, and get on out of here. It's the JLSBX.
Don't go anywhere, anywhere at all. We'll be right back after this very important thing. Or whatever.
Why did Hertz invent number one club goal service? To beat the rush hour. See, every plane and everybody seems to land at once. But with goal service, there's no stopping at the counters and no paperwork. Instead, you go nonstop to your waiting car with your name and lights. Only Hertz has number one club goal. The best reason yet why Hertz beats the rush hour. To Hertz, the rest of the day is a piece of cake.
You're listening to the Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion. Now back to the show, you handsome devils.
That's right, we're back. The JLSBX. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, formerly known as X. Other things, write us a question, review, do whatever you want. Be involved in the polls and all that sort of fun stuff and share our show with others as we are approaching almost the 10-episode mark as this being the first month of the show. Thank you for listening and everything you do. And, of course, the people that contribute to the show. Frank and Dennis here on again with me in this episode. Now, I don't know if anybody's heard this. I hope you're sitting and I hope you have a box of tissues close by. But Orenthal James Simpson has passed away at the age of 76 the other day. And so many things that have been shared and thought of and all this stuff. The Norm Macdonald clips that go on for an hour, they're all incredibly priceless. But one of the things I've always thought of, and I've always thought this was such a great way of putting this, the comedian Dennis Miller, if you guys remember from Saturday Night Live fame, and he had the show on the HBO and all this stuff, I always remember he said that the O.J. chase was the moon landing of the 90s and the next generation. And every single year when I think about that, whenever there's O.J. news, it's more and more true. You guys understand? You can get what I'm saying? Like, it's just everybody saw that fucking thing. And I remember.
Yeah, I agree. It's like when Kennedy got shot in the 60s, everybody knows where they were. When that happened, we all know where we were.
But even more so because this was on live TV, as where maybe people did not see Kennedy get shot live as much. But you get what I'm saying? And then this, they're spun us forward into the reality TV world and so on and so forth, and cops and the found footage and people and all that shit. The O.J. chase really did change a lot of things, for mostly for the worse, I would say. Do you guys, Frank, do you remember you were at when you heard either or watched the O.J. chase or heard the verdict or anything?
I was at work when they broke in on the radio that they were chasing him down the highway. So I didn't see it live, but, I knew that it was going on. And I was also at work when the verdict came down. I used to work a lot. Now I don't anymore. But you're right. As much as the real world was the birth of reality TV to a degree, this was, I think, a page turner in exactly what they could do with reality TV, because that trial spawned the birth of court TV.
Yep.
It spawned the birth of like shows like Cops was already going, but it spawned like more spinoffs of that. It dominated for 420 days. It dominated the news. It was just crazy how long that went.
Yeah, it was nuts. And yeah, like you said, it spawned all these things and the world's changed for the better or worse, mostly the worse. It depends on your view of that. Going to do a quick Marvin Steve. And this is an all OJ episode of Marvin Steve. Of course, a yes being a
yes
and a no being a
oh, hell no.
Marvin Steve. We're going to kick it off right away. And there is some sports matter to this that I will ask. So it's not just all about the trials and tribulations and crimes and murders of O.J. Simpson. So Buckle in. Question number one, fellas.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. Well, he's dead. He ain't gonna. I hope he's not gonna sue me from the grave. I don't know. Question number one. Is OJ's 1973 season the greatest running back season of all time?
Yes. I've always said that, Marv.
Yes!
What about you, Frank?
I'm going to say Steve. Dickerson's rookie. I think his rookie year.
84.
Even more so than he set the NFL record.
Let me throw you some numbers. Let me throw you some numbers here. It's in the 73 season. 250 yards in the game, that was an NFL record at the time. He ended up with 2,003 in only 14 games, 6.0 yards a carry, 143.1 yards a game. That's college numbers, folks. With 12 touchdowns, leading Buffalo to a 9-5 record, second in the AFC East. It did start what was known as the Electric Company, but let's face it, really, who else was on that team to help him out?
The rest of the team was terrible. It's the greatest season. To me, it's not only the greatest running back season ever. It's one of the greatest seasons any player ever had.
At any position?
Ever. Absolutely.
I'm going to side with Dennis on this. Is OJ's 73 the GOAT for all running back seasons?
Yes!
I just think, but you're not wrong, Frank, to say that Dickerson's 2105. That, I mean, unstoppable there.
Yeah. Now go ahead and take OJ's average, give him two more fucking games, and there you go.
He would end with 23.
We're not even talking about Dickerson, and we're not talking about how Adrian Peterson almost got it.
Yeah. You know. Question number two. And now let's think about try to think prior to 2000, because I'm sure one of you guys could probably throw out some random movie I've never heard of or something like that. Let's just think about this in the context of up to about 2000 or something. Is OJ, his character of Nordberg in the Naked Gun movies, is that the best role/character for former NFL players up to that time? And while you're thinking about it in silence, the context I'm putting you is you think of all the Jim Brown movies and you think of...
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about.
And you think about like all these guys, like Fred Dwyer and all these guys, they all thought, well, this is just easy money. And it was easy money because they had to go and be on a set for 4 days and film Towering Inferno or whatever the fuck it was. But I think OJ's Nordberg is actually pretty good, to tell you the truth.
I'll say this. Mongo liked candy.
Mongo just pawn in game of life. Yeah.
I think I agree. I think OJ was Jim Brown did a lot of shit, but nobody remembers any of that. Everybody remembers Nordberg.
Yeah.
People still watch it.
He's charismatic.
He was huge. He was huge. He was the most famous pitch man on the planet with the Hertz commercials and all that shit. And then he got into those movies.
I heard he was a real cut up on set too. Anyway,
I can see it.
I'm gonna say
low hanging fruit, yeah. Frank.
Yeah, I mean you lob him. If they lob in, I'm gonna hit him. I'm gonna say Steve because I can't think of a particular role, but I think like more people remember, and it's unfortunate, but when more people are going to remember OJ either from his NFL career or from the trial, but a lot of them are going to remember more of what Jim Brown did as far as like acting and his NFL career
and activism. That makes sense. And activism.
I'm sorry, I'm out on that. No way. No fucking way, dude. You're insane for even saying that. OJ Simpson will be
just far... because you don't agree with me means you're right.
OJ will be far more remembered than Jim Brown will. It's not
It's
not even close.
Okay, let's all move on.
But
well,
for
let's
what?
All right. You know, there's
people
three
people into Pez dispensers. That's what he's going to be remembered for.
There's three more questions here. three more questions here, and they may actually get to that. So just hold tight, guys.
Okay.
Question number one, or question number three. Marv or Steve? Did he do it?
No.
Marv.
Oh, Marv. Hell no.
Steve.
Yes.
All right. Question number four. I'm going to go Marv on that one. I think we all went, but I mean, you know. But found not guilty in the court of law, so that's all that matters. Number four. So if not for the murder, allegedly, and all that, let's just say OJ just kept going in the trajectory he was going, would he have been like a Peyton Manning now? Like he'd been like America's most lovable former jock spokesperson?
Yeah, lovable? Probably.
Most lovable, I would say Steve, but he would be one of those. He would be very high up there. Because, I mean, love Shaq.
He would have been the gold standard.
People love.
He would have been the gold standard. That's where those guys, it's like Michael Jordan and shoes. That's where those guys got that shit from was OJ.
Yeah, but
he was he started it all.
But like my comparison with Peyton Manning in this sense is though, you see how Peyton has totally played the I've been hit in the head too many times type of thing, and it kind of makes him level, and it works.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of think with the Nordberg character, and if he did not allegedly murder two people, I'm thinking this is maybe he could have been this type of guy before a Peyton Manning type. You know what I mean?
He was that guy. You forget he was doing that for a very long time before the whole murder thing happened. So he already was that guy. That's what I'm saying. He already laid down the gold standard and then got fucked up in the murders. So had those not happened, yeah, he probably would have went on for a few more years and retired the GOAT of pitch men until Peyton came along. And, Tom Brady took it from Joe Montana. It just happens.
All right. Anything to add to that?
But if somebody would have usurped him, then he wouldn't have been the greatest. Like he could have been the first.
Well, Frank, that's what I said. Joe Montana was the GOAT for how many years until we finally said, oh, he's not anymore. That's my point. OJ was the GOAT until somebody came along and he wasn't anymore. But he was.
But what was the original question? What was the question?
Well, I'll phrase it instead of being the absolute here, the GOAT. Could he been considered one of the all-time greats as a spokesman, that type of person? Could he have continued that trajectory?
Could he have been one of the greatest? Yes.
Like, okay.
But,
But see, it's hard to sell. It's hard to sell Tropicana orange juice when you've allegedly lopped a couple of people's heads off, you know, so that's why we didn't see
absolutely.
Him. Yeah. So
I'm just saying up until the point of the two lopped off heads, he had it going pretty goddamn good.
Oh, fucking A. All right. Fifth and final question. Thank God. As we get through this with the OJ questions, do you think it is right for any of his bust statues, plaques, or anything, do you think it's right for any of them to have an asterisk when what he did was not football related?
No.
Look, any of his stats? Steve, no.
Steve.
He accomplished
hell no.
I'm glad we all agree on that because, and I'm going to try not to get on too much of a philosophical high horse here, but when, say, you go to the NFL Hall of Fame in Canton, or you go to USC's Hall of Fame, which has got to be very large because we're talking Heisman Trophy winners and the lineage of their football programs. If there is to be any sort of asterisk or something like that, my thought is that's kind of shitty to, like, again, let's just, why bring in two dead people that had nothing to do with his 1968 rushing year? You know what I mean? You know, it's like picking a scab, you know?
No, I went to the Hall of Fame in 99. I took a picture with his bust. Me and my buddy who went there, we went right to it. It was like one of the first ones we went to. We had to see it, take pictures with it, and then we proceeded to check out the hall. But I was there when Lawrence Taylor and Eric Dickerson were inducted. And a lot of this was coming up about Lawrence Taylor with all of his bullshit and baggage and cocaine and girls.
Correct.
And it's like, well, so you're going to put an asterisk next to Lawrence Taylor. I get that he didn't, you know, allegedly chop heads off, but still, you could do this with anybody. All that shit has to be put aside. Unless they were what was that fucking that scene that happened in the last Boy Scout? Billy, what's his dick?
Billy Cole.
Pulls a gun out of his shoe. Yeah, Billy Cole starts murdering people on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. You don't get to be in the Hall of Fame.
Life's a bitch.
Yeah, that's I love that movie so much.
I agree. It's like, because like you said, Dennis, you could go down the list and you could probably find more athletes that have a wagon load of shit behind them. And are you going to, like, even to this day, I think it's fucking ridiculous that they took Reggie Bush's Heisman Trophy away. Okay. Just because somebody paid him money didn't mean that he didn't fucking put all those yards up or all those touchdowns or all those incredible performances. I get it. It was against the rules, but bullshit. The guy earned it.
It's super stupid.
It is.
And that's, yeah, I agree that like none of that shit should matter. He put the numbers up. He earned that shit. He's not a good human being, but a great football player.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. We're going to put a bow on this. Any final words either one of you guys got to say?
No, great show. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to close out with.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, going to wrap up the show. Going to unveil the April Radness bracket, which starts this week. The four categories come up here in just a second. The JLSBX.
Like what you're hearing, share us, tell a friend, and spread the word. You can find us at Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and many more. Don't be a fucking bastard.
Working to be the best they can be. Teammates, sponsored by the U.S. Army. On a frozen Sunday in 1973, Mike Montler, Reggie McKenzie, Joe DeLamalur, Dave Foley, and Donnie Green made history. While all eyes focused on O.J. Simpson, the Bills' offensive line helped reach an incredible milestone. As individuals, each man shared in the first 2,000-yard season. Together as teammates, they were the electric company. They turned on the juice and made the Bills the best they can be.
We now return back to the show.
That's right, we're back. It's the JLSBX, the Josh Sam Sports Ball Explosion. Make sure to find us on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, Facebook, and so much more. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing all that stuff. Going to unveil the April Radness brackets here in just a second. Big shout out to those that contribute. Again, Frank Rapier, Dennis Brown, my guest today. I love it every time they come on. It's always a blast. It's good to talk to those guys. A big shout out to contributor Ice Mamba for the video footage and the question about the NBA Trash Talkers debate, and my son Kaius Lamb for his contributions to the Red River Trivia Contest. Now, coming up on this week's show, we're going to break down the NBA playoffs. Who are the teams to beat? We're also going to factor in the wages to see what the best way to wager on the NBA playoffs coming up would be. That and a little bit of baseball talk, because now we've gotten over the 10 to 15 game marks for all the teams. We're starting to see these things come together. That and so much more will be on the next show. But as promised earlier, the unveiling of the April Radness tournament, let's give ourselves a nice groove to get into it. Now, as every stupid shock jock out there in radio station likes to have the own March Madness tournaments, we did not decide to do that in March. Instead, instead of March Madness, it's April Radness, for a tournament of 64 teams to see what is the most raddest thing out there. And it breaks down into four categories, and the categories unveiled are this. Category number one, best pro wrestling tag teams of all time. Number two, best items to buy at a sporting event, this being concessions, things that you could consume. Number three, best villains of movies pre-2000s. As you can see, we like to mix in the pop culture here to make it fun, do that sort of thing, not just all sports. But the fourth and final bracket would be the doozy, if you will, this being the sports one. This one being the, what are the best sports rivalries of all time? That's the one I'm really looking forward to, because that one is going to get a lot of you heated and probably arguing against me, against each other, but that's what we want to see what has happened. So, we got that coming up. If this week you got nothing to do, make sure that you're watching some baseball, you're watching the NBA playoffs get started, the NHL playoffs get started, that and so much more, the NFL draft coming up in a couple weeks, that and so much more. Also, there's a new champion in pro wrestling if you follow that. So, Frank Raper, Dennis Brown, Lucy the British Chick, Caius Lamb, and Ice Mamba, I'm Josh Land signing off on this episode. Be good to each other. Don't cost nothing.
Superior Court of California, County of Los Angeles, in the matter of the people of the state of California versus Orenthal James Simpson, case number BA097211. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson, a human being, as charged in count one of the information.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.